This is WABF, and it's time now for the Conservative Watchdog Weekly News Review, brought to you by Spriggs Enterprises, featuring the Shell gas stations in Daphne and a 98 in Malbus with the state-of-the-art car wash. In for Dr. Lou from the Common Sense Campaign, we have Deke Cox joining us. Deke, good morning, and remind us of your credentials of why you're capable of doing this show.
Hey, good morning, Lori and everyone. Hey, everyone, Demetrius Deacon Cox here, retired Lieutenant Commander, United States Navy, and happy to be with you again, co-hosting, guest hosting for Dr. Lou as he's out on travel today. Just wanted to kick it off with some news. So let's see. South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem announces her support for President Donald J. Trump. Full endorsement expected during Trump rally today.
Brave of her.
China Daily, English version, reports that Airbus, the EU aviation consortium, with major operations in Mobile and on the Eastern Shore, has announced their intention to deepen investment in communist China, renowned for atrocious craftsmanship and poor quality control. More mercantilist tech thievery and Airbus crashes to follow? Former President Barack Obama is pansexual, with affinity for cocaine use as recently as 1999, as revealed by Tucker Carlson this week on X, formerly known as Twitter. The nation of India changing its name to Bharat.
Bharat.
B-H-A-R-A-T. Yes, if you can believe it. Nation of 1.2 billion people changing its name. I guess, and I'm not quite sure whether it's part of wokeness, you know.
Are you reading National Enquirer headlines?
No.
Is this real?
It is. This is the world we live in, folks, okay? It is. Also, in a major policy announcement, South Carolina Governor Henry McMaster declares that the state of South Carolina will not observe any new COVID mandates.
Good for them.
Yeah. More red states to follow? I think we need to be lighting up Kay Ivey. Yeah. All right. Finally, U.S. debt clock. According to usdebtclock.org, our national debt now blowing past $33 trillion. That's trillion with a T. $33 trillion, folks. Debt per taxpayer, $254,178 is each of our liability in that national debt. $32 trillion debt.
I cannot conceive $1 trillion. Is that largely in part due to all of the money going to Ukraine?
Well, it's certainly not helping. I mean, just this morning we wake up and it's $600 million more going to Ukraine.
Now, is that true? I saw a meme on Facebook that listed the amount of millions and billions being transferred every few days.
Yeah, it's
is that true?
It is. It's absolutely true. And you know, a lot of this is, it gets buried in omnibus spending bills. The numbers have been less of late because of increasing public awareness and pushback on Congress and their inability to sneaker in some of these, you know, little bennies and goodies for their corrupt friends over in Ukraine. But yes, so debt per taxpayer is $254,178, which buys a respectable home in most places in America that I know of. How about you, Lori?
Except for Fair Hope.
Yeah, how about you, Judd?
My question about Ukraine and the money.
Hang on. Need to get Judd a mic.
There we go. Try that, sir.
Deke, my question about Ukraine and the...
You could on? Okay.
My question about Ukraine and the Mississippi River of money flooding into Ukraine is... What small percentage of it is actually going to fund the war effort in Ukraine versus ending up in the pockets of, I've got a list of several thousand people for whom this war is being waged so they can pocket the money?
Well, you know, my best answer for that, Judd, is that as the mystery over the decades has I mean, this goes all the way back to Eisenhower, you know, in World War II and post-World War II Korean War era, where as Eisenhower was leaving the White House, he warned against the growing power of the military-industrial complex. And, you know, the truth is that we, the taxpayers, typically don't become aware, if ever, of what the true numbers really are. But you can bet, based off of recent disclosures, FOIAs, that, you know, that a healthy portion of it is lining the pockets of military arms manufacturers. Okay, they get a huge chunk of that, and then also, you know, politicians, and you know, the I would say the most onerous part of that huge pot of money, you know, which is now on the heavy side of hundreds of billions, headed towards $1 trillion just in the last 18 months. Okay, the biggest portion of that goes to actually fund the entire government of Ukraine. You know, so you know, happy taxpayer, you're not just taking care of our own grotesquely outsized federal government, you know, and your state governments. You know, I mean, most Americans now saddled with somewhere between 25% and 40%, you know, real tax rate. You know, it's unbelievable, but you're not just, you know, burdened with that, but you're also burdened with maintaining, you know, the entire bureaucracy of a corrupt country at war, not of our choosing, you know. So
are you aware in enough detail to want to talk about it, what how much of a cut Zelensky himself rips off of all this stuff? I mean, he's a sock puppet anyway.
Mm-hmm. He is.
He's not a real president. He's a sock puppet, just like Biden and some of these other guys. But I understand that he has offshore, you know, out of Ukraine accounts. It's no surprise. It's not even disheartening. It's just exactly what Eisenhower told us about.
Right. So he's absolutely dirty. And when you look at where they picked him up off the street, you know, as a performance artist is maybe the most polite way to put it. And then suddenly he gets installed as, you know, as president of Ukraine. And, you know, I mean, he's just the most recent iteration of Greta Thunberg. You know, that's, you know, but worse because, you know, he's got his hands in all the pockets. But let's go back to the GDP, U.S. debt to GDP ratio. So, folks, it is now 122.02% U.S. debt to GDP ratio, right? So that is a reasonable measure of just how badly we're in debt. So the way you look at that is 22% excess, okay? And so when you look at the amount of interest that we're paying on that. Again, I encourage you to go to usdebtclock.org and take a look at that. It's got a lot of very interesting numbers that runs there that shows just how abusive our government is and the challenges that we have in front of us if we are to reclaim some level of integrity in this country. So look, folks, we're going to go ahead and move on into, you know, the program and just talk about some things. So we, you know, oftentimes in the conservative traditionalist movement, and you know, and especially the last 3 years, you know, since the usurpers took over in Washington, you know, they really people just have been completely blown away by the you know, rapid fire, and it happened. I mean, it began straight away, really, before they even took office. But it, you know, just the rapid fire erosion of all things conservative and many things that I think that we all value and hold dear, as far as, you know, what's important to our families, to our children, to our communities. And so we're going to talk about those, because it's been apparent by listening to various conservative commentators, being a part of this, you know, this important show with Dr. Lou and Lori and Judd and others, that, you know, that we can't see the forest for the trees. You know, we might be able to discern, you know, a tree here and there, you know, but we're going to examine some of these pillars of attack, you know, that the Democrats have launched on us, that the progressive movement has foisted upon conservatives and traditionalists and constitutionalists, and then we're gonna, you know, we're gonna challenge folks to think about these in a different way, and that is one of overlapping Venn diagrams. So if you've ever seen a Venn diagram, or you have a search engine available to you, look up V-E-N-N diagram, Venn diagram. And so it's a concept that we use to show interrelationships between what might be, for instance, like scientists use it to describe photosynthesis, and the way that different systems interact to create really a different outcome or a result that maybe you wouldn't expect. And so, we have to look at, when we look at this, it's apparent to us as we try and get our arms around and formulate a strategy going forward, that many folks just do not understand how to fight back. They may understand one of the issues or maybe two, but not the concrete whole. And unless we understand, in depth, how these different attacks have been launched against us and how to begin to organize to push back on those, then we're constantly behind. And the example I gave Lou as he and I were talking this past week is that we're not winning this war. Okay, we are woefully behind, and I would liken it to a mountaineer on Everest being taken out by an avalanche. You're fighting for survival. You're fighting to understand. You're struggling to understand. You're struggling to keep your family afloat, with runaway inflation, and again with a $32 trillion debt. And so it's important that we as a movement sit down and take stock of these issues. We can think along the more traditional plank, formulating a platform, a political platform, and the different planks within that platform, but to be able to fight back effectively against this assault, we have to be able to, advance our understanding of, and again, I would offer the Venn diagram as a useful tool in understanding the overall assault, and then to be able to push back in concerted areas. So we're going to start with, segueing from the show last week where, we had some wonderful folks in from Moms for Liberty. And they gave out a lot of really useful information, and so one of the issues that is of course near and dear to many of our hearts, whether we have children or grandchildren or nieces and nephews in the system, neighbors, in the school system, in the public school system, is the school choice movement. And so the first pillar, is school choice and the importance of parents being active and involved in our children's education. There is no substitute for it, and we can talk about how this assault really comes down through the teachers' unions nationwide into the different state entities. For us, it's the Alabama Educators Association, which is has a long history of notoriously corrupt politics and especially during the era back in the 90s and early 2000s when they dominated the Alabama state legislature, and we were finally able to break that, about, what was it, 12, 13 years ago, 2010, 11 time frame. But it's returned in different ways, but, so the school choice movement really gained additional steam during COVID, right, where, myself, Dr. Lou, others, were involved, pushing back against the Baldwin County Board of Education on, mass mandates, Stephanie Dernan and Health Freedom Alabama, representing really a second pillar in this comprehensive assault from the progressive, is also played into that because Health Freedom overlaps, again, thinking about that Venn diagram, Health Freedom certainly overlapped into school choice, the school choice movement, because they were trying to push mandates, on our kids and are still trying. If we look around the nation, the left is renewing their efforts with fear mongering and really trying to scare people to death about COVID. And while I think that it's a very real risk that our government, as corrupt as it is, has something even more deadly in store for us. You know, you have to shoot the crocodile closest to the boat. And so we right now, you know, you see this as a key plank within the school choice movement is pushing back against these absolute bogus mandates and you know, realizing that, you know, our children are the least susceptible to COVID. You know, masks don't work. That's been proven in multiple scientific studies, you know, peer-reviewed scientific studies, and that they certainly don't need to be anywhere near the poison death shots. And, you know, so that's where the school choice movement has gained new membership and new energy in the last 3-4 years. But then also, you know, since the new administration came in, is the Marxist woke indoctrination of our children, you know, coming through, you know, the curriculum, pushed through the teachers' unions, you know, and again, you know, we've mentioned it on the show in the past, but, you know, evidenced locally right here, you know, just right over here at Fairhope East Elementary, you know, where we found, you know, fourth graders being taught to disrespect the United States flag. You know, with drawing freehand, you know, my new American flag exhibits and including, you know, the rainbow flag, you know, of the LGBTQ++ movement, and, you know, and just absolute disrespect and sacrilege, just, you know, just right there, just to our flag. You know, we see it locally here in Baldwin County, you know, filter through, you know, through the school system and then into other entities allied with youth public-facing, youth-serving organizations like the Scouts, the Scouting Movement, where, you know, we have woke Scout leaders who would not allow Scout units to meet even outside during COVID for up to 2 years, you know, the Daphne Troop and the Daphne Unit, you know. Then you have these same woke leaders, you know, showing just a couple of weeks ago at a Scout recruiting event over at Belforest Elementary, you know, the LGBTQ++ flag, but not the U.S. flag. And many parents were questioning that on Facebook, you know. And so, you know, these people are unbelievable. You know, that same leader, if you would wish to call him that, radical leftist, rabid leftist. And he, you know, is also known to, you know, advocate for these highly controversial woke policies. And, you know, you just have to look at it and really question, you know, what it is that we're doing. And so, again, that's part of the school choice movement, and, you know, we won't elaborate more there because of time and the need to move on to the next pillar, but, you know, when we look at, you know, wokeness within our education system, we must recognize that it is Marxist indoctrination, and begin to organize through groups like Moms for Liberty and push back on censorship, on, you know, this. You know, and the hard work, the heavy lifting on this, you know, and I think Judd's got a question here, but the heavy lifting on this, folks, is that groups like Moms for Liberty, you know, really need folks to join and really get into the details. You know, they need people looking at the curriculum. They need to make sure that they're screening books in the library. They need to make sure that, you know, that even though school administrators don't want us behind the wall, parents and grandparents and the community, they don't want us behind the wall, you know, to see into the classroom and to see what the teachers are you know, brainwashing our children with. You know, they, you know, the need is great. We need people to stand up and stand up for our children and be involved in their education and hold these educators accountable. And, you know, and here's the thing. I don't want to paint too broad of a brush there and say that about every educator. It's really the teachers union and some of the woke leadership. You know, Carol Broughton, the former principal over at Fairhope East, was notorious, you know, for, you know, her political stances, and was the one who allowed this My New American Flag exhibit in her own school, and, you know, and then pled ignorance when we called, you know, Cecil Christenberry, you know, our school board rep, on it and demanded answers. And so, you know, we've got to hold the administrators and the teachers' unions accountable. You know, make sure you know who those people are. You know, ask your teachers, are you a member of the AEA? and then find out who the leaders are in that school. You know, make sure they see your eyes and feel your gaze and hear your questions at every meeting. You know, this is how we hold them accountable. Okay. Judd, did you have a question on that?
I wanted to remind our listeners of a quote, of an insight that comes from David Horowitz, who said, "The issue is never the issue. The issue is always the revolution." So all these individual things that we're doing, all these individual things are designed to get us involved trying to oppose individual things. We got to cut the head off the snake.
That's right.
The snake, to me, is federal money, i.e. our money, our tax money, being granted to any target, school districts, states. And until a state can wean itself off federal grant money completely in education, completely, we're fighting a losing battle.
That's right. And, Judd, I'm not sure if you were here a couple weeks ago when I was here with Dr. Liu, but, you know, I just offer for folks that, you know, regardless of our positions, moral ethics on gambling, you know, we do need to, you know, step back and take a serious look at what other states have done right with lottery money and understand that that may be our best option for getting away from federal education mandates, you know, and Marxist indoctrination of our children. Not to mention being able to completely go independent of the federal government in funding school choice. You know, when you look at, you know, the benefits of what lottery money did in like our next door neighbor in Georgia and the unbelievable positive impacts that it's had on our ability to you know, fund maintenance and logistics and build schools and increase program, you know, programmatics and, you know, quality of delivery, quantity of delivery, you know, to fund scholarships. You know, these are important things. Now, it's a double-edged sword because you're also funding the same people that are tormenting us, right? You know, and so what I would offer for folks' consideration, and then we're going to move on here, is that we need to take a hard look at Georgia's laws that brought in the lottery in Georgia back in 93, 94, and then take a very hard look at making sure that those funds do not, one, that they're exclusive to education, they're not robbed to pay for fun, you know, highways or anything like that, but then also that we don't fund tenure, right? Because once you fund tenure, you know, the taxpayers have no say in that. You know, that's all, you know, it could be a Marxist appointing another Marxist, right, which increasingly happens in the, especially in the liberal arts areas of these colleges and universities. So anyway, folks, just want to mention that. I think it's a worthy conversation that needs to happen, you know, and especially for us to be able to get out from under these federal education mandates, which are really, truly, as Judd mentioned, you know, the real poison. You know, we've got to be able to defeat that. Okay, so the next pillar we're going to talk about is the health freedom movement. So talking with Stephanie Dernan just before we came on air, you know, I asked her about how did we do, you know, how'd it go? How'd last legislative session go for health freedom? And so the good news is that we gained more support, more backing for the health freedom law, you know, within Alabama to protect, you know, we're enshrined, further enshrined and protect, you know, our privacy and individual health freedom, our individual rights and liberties here in the state of Alabama, but it still has not made it out of committee. And so, you know, what I want to say before we get into, you know, the meat of this second pillar called health freedom is that, you know, make sure that you're ringing up Paul Lee, you know, Dothan 86 is his district, and make sure that you're keeping the fire lit under him and make sure that he hears your voice and that he hears your concerns. He is chairman of the health caucus there, the health committee in the legislature and the assembly, and we absolutely, you know, are never going to get health freedom passed into law if we can't get it past Paul Lee. And so that's going to require numbers, and they need to, you know, they need to hear your voice on the phone. They need to receive those letters. They need to see us show up in their district.
And what are we asking him specifically to do?
To support the Alabama Health Freedom Law.
Support the Alabama Health Freedom
Law. That's right.
Law. Okay.
Okay. Act. The Alabama Health Freedom Act. Okay. That's right.